I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Earlier this week, President Bush gave Lewis Scooter Libby a way to avoid 2.5 years of jail time. The former White House aide was convicted of obstructing a CIA leak investigation. Now, after commuting Libby's sentence, the president said he wouldn't rule out a pardon either. Presidents have been granting clemency since George Washington. Franklin Roosevelt issued more than 3,500 of them. Arguably, the highest profile pardon was Gerald Ford of Richard Nixon. So how does a president decide who gets clemency? Joining me now to talk about the power to pardon and grant clemency is Paul Butler, a former federal prosecutor. He now teaches law at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Paul, great to have you back on.
Great to be here, Farai.
So the Constitution gives presidents the power to use clemency actions. President Bush hasn't granted very many so far, so why is there such a public outcry over Libby?
Well, in fact, it is because he hasn't granted a lot. He's had a number of sympathetic cases before him, cases in which, based on history, it seems like other presidents would have been likely to grant pardons. But Mr. Bush has been rather miserly using this constitutional authority. And so in a case where he knows someone and the someone whose pardon is also an important friend of the vice president's, it raises a lot of questions. Why now?
So let's talk about fairness. Obviously, presidential clemency and pardons are legal, but are they what most people, and particularly African Americans, would consider fair?
Well, the power is one that the president has that's descended from the divine right of kings. So the idea is that whoever is in ultimate authority should have the power on behalf of the state to be kind, to be merciful, to be forgiving. And I think that idea is something that most people support, including the African-American community. We have a lot of people caught up in the criminal justice system who need that kind of kindness. So the issue isn't that the president should not have this authority. It's that he ought to exercise it in a way that seems fair and consistent. And that's, the issue that's raised lots of questions with the pardon or commutation of the sentence of Mr. Libby.
You actually have some reverse criticism on the party lines where Senator Hillary Clinton spoke out and folks said, well, hey, your husband, President Clinton, did pardon this rogue financier.
And what Mr. Clinton has said in response is that, okay, that's true, but at least he wasn't someone who was associated with our administration. You know, Farai, I used to be a public corruption prosecutor, and you rarely see pardons in those cases, one, because the people who are convicted of those crimes have close ties to the government, so one wants to avoid the appearance of impropriety or unfairness. But the other thing is, those crimes are especially serious. When people do things like what Mr. Libby was convicted of, obstructing justice, committing perjury, and lying to the FBI, well, when they're in positions of public authority and trust, that undermines the very machinations of government, of our democracy. And so when we think of the kinds of crimes that are appropriate for pardons and for commutations, most people don't think public corruption is high on the list.
Speaking of what kinds of crimes are available or likely to be pardoned, let's talk about folks that some call political prisoners, Asada Shakur, Mumia Abu-Jamal, among others. Both were convicted of killing law enforcement officers. Both say they were either innocent or there were mitigating circumstances. Now, Shakur escaped from prison in 1979, has been in Cuba ever since. Abu-Jamal is on death row in Pennsylvania. In general, are people convicted of murder ever pardoned? And do you think that they will ever get the opportunity for a presidential pardon?
Well, it's very rare for people who are convicted of murder to be pardoned. The only time that that generally happens, if someone's been, let's say, in prison for years and years, really decades, they're maybe 75 years old, don't have a long life ahead of them. Sometimes, in that instance, the president or the state executive exercises mercy. But even then, it's rare. But for Farai, one of the interesting things is that when Mr. Bush pardoned Libby, he listed the reasons why he was doing that. And those reasons would apply to the inmates who you mentioned as well. What Mr. Bush said is that, well, the sentencing judge didn't take into account all of the good things that Mr. Libby had done. And he also didn't consider the effect of the sentence on Mr. Libby's family. Now, the ironic thing is that the Bush Justice Department has opposed those kinds of arguments when they've been made for other people seeking lenient sentences. But again, now that Mr. Bush himself has endorsed those arguments in favor of commuting a sentence and in favor of less punishment, it's hard to understand why they shouldn't apply to everyone.
You had the case of Tookie Williams, where he also was, many people said, look, you know, he did commit a murder, but at the same time, he was nominated for a Nobel Prize. He was seen as a humanitarian. Very briefly, was that a case in which pardon under a different president, perhaps, might have been executed?
Well, it's certainly a case for exactly what Mr. Bush did here, which is to commute the sentence. Even Mr. The attorney in that case, they weren't seeking a pardon. They just wanted a life sentence. And again, what a lot of people think is that it would have been appropriate for the governor, Governor Schwarzenegger in that case, to commute that sentence.
All right, Paul, that's all we got time for. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure, Farai.
Paul Butler is a former federal prosecutor who now teaches law at George Washington University in Washington, D.C.